generally use the abbreviation NRCS. So can we then invite the CEO to actually speak to us?
Thank you, Chair. Good morning, honorable members, as well as the BD. The delegation for NRCS is myself and Edward Matemba, Manager Strategy and Risk, and the CIO, Nomathemba Majola. She's acting CIO because she's seconded from CETA, but she's in fact a CIO. The turnaround plan of the NRCS will focus mainly on three pillars that will assist us in changing the audit outcome. We will focus on human resource issues, we will focus on the audit qualification and ICT modernization. I will quickly move, Chair, to slide 8, which is the purpose. Why do we need a turnaround plan or turnaround strategy? The NRCS has been receiving an audit, a qualified audit, for the past 6 years from the AG. The audit qualification has taken various forms and shapes, but what is important now is to focus on the now and what management is going to do to address those challenges. The organization has been receiving long turnaround times in the issuance of the letters of authority, and we will be reporting on significant progress that we have made in that front. In terms of the situational analysis of why we found ourselves in the situation that we are, briefly, Chair, I will just mention them, not focus on them, because what is important for us is where we are and where we are going. So there has been a huge turnover in top management within the institution, especially in the role of a CEO, where we have had four CEOs literally in 10 years, all of them spending 2.5 years. We have had qualified opinion for 6 years, which I've spoken to. We have a volatile labor environment from the inception of the NRCS, which is more or less stable now. We have had inadequate ICT systems. We are operating on largely on manual basis or dysfunctional ICT system where they are present. There are challenges with the performance culture. There has been challenges with the funding model, the levies, which is why we are here, and we have been receiving the audit qualification because of the levies. Overall, the regulatory model of the NRCS needs review. So the next slide, Chair, is to show you where we are, what has been achieved thus far, what still needs to be done. So we'll focus mainly on the yellows. The yellows is where a lot of work still needs to be done. The greens, we are confident as management that something has been done and we just need to reinforce the improvement that has been realized and continue to improve. So in terms of the where we are in the senior management positions, we have identified critical positions that need to be filled, and we hope to fill all of them by the end of the financial year, the 31st of March. But we have a clear action plan and a recruitment plan in place with targeted dates that that we will ensure that we monitor as we move. We don't wait until the end of the financial year to realize that we haven't achieved what we set ourselves to achieve. We have, for instance, in the position of financial manager and ICT specialist, the DG has touched on that. We have secondments from the DTI. The financial manager started on the 18th of November, and her immediate task was to sit in the interviews or recruitment process for the financial manager to ensure that there is business continuity. We address the root cause of the problem, and we are able to function after they go back to the DTI. The ICT specialist has been working closely with the CIO. He started earlier on the 12th of November, and he has been working with the CIO to identify action program to address the ICT challenges, and also to focus on the low hanging fruit that we can immediately realize in the short term. The CIO will touch on that later on. In terms of the policies, the human resource policies, Chair, we have made a significant progress. 12 policies have been reviewed, only 6 policies are outstanding, and the resolution now is to focus on the outstanding policies and ensure that they are completed by the end of the financial year. However, having said that, the policy is a moving document, it's a living document. Even the ones that we have reviewed, we must put mechanism in place to ensure that there is continuous review and updating of the policies. And to that extent, Chair, we have approved a policy framework for the NRCS, which we will implement the beginning of the next financial year to ensure that managers are given responsibility to monitor the policies within their areas of responsibility and ensure that they are kept up to date at all times. We have implemented an electronic leave system with effect from the 18th of November. The system is live and operational, which will address the issue that has been identified by the AG in the last financial year regarding leave provision. So we will be able to produce electronic records of all our leave and account for all our leave management processes. The audit qualification. The NRCS has been qualified on revenue as well as on the post-retirement benefits and leave provision, which I've just spoken to. In terms of the completeness of revenue, Chair, significant work has already been achieved in the last financial year, where we have improved compliance from 55% to 85%. We have also introduced an estimation methodology which assists us in implementing measures for companies that fail to comply. Because at any given time, there will be companies that fall outside of the financial year, and we will need to estimate those companies. However, the AG has raised significant findings on the estimation method, which we have taken them into account, and we are reviewing the estimation methodology to incorporate those recommendations by the AG so that the estimation methodology is adequate and can be substantiated. We will continue to ensure that all companies that are that are doing business with the NRCS are registered on the NRCS financial system. And all companies that are issued with the LOAs are registered with the NRCS. All companies that are being inspected are registered with the NRCS to address the issue of completeness of revenue. We also believe, Chair, that with the intervention from the ICT side, with the upgrading, the proposal to upgrade the current financial system, we will be able to address some of the revenue issues that the AG has identified, but the CIO will talk to that in more detail. In respect of the second leg of the qualification, which is mostly administrative issues and labor relations issues, Chair, we have started to implement consequences management to ensure that the problem does not recur in future and there is accountability by officials who are responsible to produce this information to the AG. With that said, Chair, I will turn over to Edward to take you through the letters of authority.
Good morning, Chair and Honourable Members. With regards to approvals, which we sometimes refer to letters of authority, we issue approvals with the automotive sector, electrotechnical, chemicals, materials and mechanicals, and for measuring instruments. For measuring instruments, which we call type approval, we are issuing 100% within 120 days. For gaming approvals, for the bingo machines, where we do that on behalf of the gambling board, we are issuing just more than 99% within 30 days. For automotive approvals, we are issuing about 99.56% within 120 days. When we look at the next slide, for example, when we, the automotive, the 0.44%, it's only 9 out of almost 2,000. What I'm trying to also show here is in other industries besides electrotech, everything is perfectly functioning. We are able to meet the turnaround times. With chemicals, materials, and mechanicals, we are sitting at 90.38%. 15 were outstanding, that were above 120 days, and that was the delays in the implementation of the safety glazing and safety footwear compulsory specifications. Those have now been resolved, and also the other challenge that we had was we were sitting with applications, we raised findings for non-compliance. We give them to the applicant. The applicants were not coming back in due time. So the organization has then implemented a 30 days cancellation. We write to you, we give you the findings, you have 30 days within which to respond to the NRCS. Failure of which to respond to the NRCS, your application is deemed cancelled or declined. And with the chemicals, materials and mechanicals, there was a challenge there. The decision was not filtered through, and that has been reinforced by the CEO from November. They are implementing the 30 days cancellation. So also that would be resolved. With electrotechnical, we have had a challenge there. When we implemented the border enforcement strategy, we realized that there were so many consignments that were coming into the country that were not pre-approved. The industry were taking chances rather than complying with the law. First apply for approval and then import. They were importing, hoping NRCS does not catch. And with that, the number of applications that we are receiving jumped from about 8,000 in 2015 to about 17,000 now. and NRCS did not timeously employ resources to cater for the doubling of the applications. What we have now done, there were six candidate inspectors that were appointed. They went through the 18-month training, and they all qualified on the 1st of April. There were problems with the implementation of the 30 days cancellation as well. That has been done, and also the risk-based approach, where we deal with categories of applications differently, the low risk, the medium risk, and the high risk. And in terms of moving forward, we are sitting with about, when we completed the second quarter, we had about 3,146 applications. We have managed to reduce those to applications on hand to about 2,321. I will explain the status of those 2,321. And how we are managing to reduce that is just the measures that we have implemented. And moving forward, we were carrying so many applications at the end of the financial year because, for example, the NRCS closes for the December recess. Applications are received electronically. So we come back from holiday, there are applications on the system. The turnaround times have already started kicking in. And the institution have just institutionalized leave management, and where there are going to be issues where we see that the capacity is not going to be able to handle, we're going to maybe consider overtime. But the other challenge that we have had was administrative capacity. The application is approved. We work manually, most of these applications. It's manual process, so when the application is done, someone must recapture the full information onto your system. So we now also have started having a bottleneck in terms of application capturing. So we have also, we are considering additional administrative capacity there. The process is underway also by the end of the financial year. That would be resolved. And our plan is to reduce the number of applications to about 1,600, which more translate to 30 days applications received within the electrotechnical space. Of the applications that we currently had on the 12th of November, 711 were unassigned and they were under 30 days. 695 were approved awaiting capturing on the system so that we can issue the approval certificate. 915 applications were technically reviewed and sent or communicated findings to the applicant. And as we stand, we do not have any application that's above 120 days that has not been attended to. Any application that's sitting in NRCS that's above 120 days, we are waiting for the industry to respond to the findings.
Thank you, I would ask the ICPIO to take a story in
ICT modernization. I will ask the CIO to take us through ICT modernization.
Thank you, CEO. Good morning, Honorable Chair, as well as Honorable Members. Yes, I will take you through the ICT modernization. So basically, I think what I want to, perhaps before I can start, to mention 2 points around modernization. So the focus on the modernization, in order for your modernization to really be successful, you need 2 things. The first one, it will be your IT infrastructure, because within the ICT, that is actually your foundation. So you need to get that right in order to bring other things. And then the second thing as well is the fit for purpose, IT human resources, because I mean now you can imagine that you are moving to the latest technologies, so you need, you know, good skills to come and assist you in the modernization. So what I will take you through, I've recently joined NRCS and, you know, I started in September and I had to quickly do a check in terms of what has been implemented so far. And I must say that so far there has been some good work that has been done, as I've just mentioned the 2 points. So the first one, we're looking at the IT infrastructure review and upgrade program. So the main objective here, you just have to make sure that you're running the good in IT infrastructure, as I've mentioned earlier, so that when you bring your applications, you know that they're running in a good IT infrastructure. So basically, the last financial year, 2018-19, there was an infrastructure refresh that was completed. And then also the voice over IP, it was also focusing both on the internal as well as our external clients, so that when they call, they are able to leave, you know, important information, and then we are able to get back and resolve the issues. Hence, also, you've noticed the improvement in the LOA. So the next thing that we just need to do in the action plans for the upgrade is just to add a little bit of the bandwidth, because now the voice over IP is running on our internet. So we just have to make sure that there are no glitches within the network. And then the second one is also to finalize the network switches specification. So this one is basically to also look at our local area network. The voice over IP is much more focused on our WAN, and then the switches are focused on the internal infrastructure that we need to upgrade. Both of these two initiatives is just to make sure that we're running a good network internally and we don't have glitches. Okay. The second program, so what we did when I joined, it was just to look at the skills gap. As I've mentioned earlier, to say it's important to have your fit for people's human resources within the IT space, so that we make sure that whatever innovations that we are bringing are successfully implemented. So far, we have done the plan. We've developed the plan to identify the skills gap. And previously, there was that was focusing on bringing the IT resources, but now what we are doing, we are adding more other skills as per the plan that we've just completed since I've joined organization. Okay, so the third one, we're also looking at the application system stabilization and modernization. Earlier, we've mentioned the issues that we are currently facing on the JDE upgrade. We had previously had different types of JDE partners, if I may put it that way. But then what we realized in the JDE is that the system was inherited from SABS as is. It has about over 700 customization. So you can imagine, as we are bringing different types of partners, even though they've got the skill, it's not a quick and easy fix type of a thing. So now what we did for that specific JDE, in order for us to fast-pace the repair of the upgrade of JDE, we have now engaged the OEM, which is Oracle in this case, because currently the JDE is running on Oracle, so that they can come and assist us in, you know, speeding this the JDE upgrade. So far, we have also provided them with the current challenges that we are facing and all the requirements. So we are working together with Oracle currently. And then another thing, if you can look at number two, we are also implementing the enterprise resource planning. You may ask a question to say, why are we doing that? The problem is that with the current JDE as is, it's not a quick and move, you know, to the latest environment. So we need to first clean up the existing system, correct the existing data integrities in order for us to move into the ERP. And also the ERP, we are focusing at an integrated type of an approach where we are bringing your finance, your human resources, your supply chain, as well as your facilities and warehouse in this one system. And what's most important, because these the modernization in its nature is sort of like an enterprise type of an approach, so change management is very important. So it's another program that we are running in parallel, just to make sure that our employees are up to par in terms of what we are doing and how is it gonna benefit both internal employees as well as our customers. Yes, on the right-hand side, we've also put in the high-level dates in terms of the achievements in the near future. Okay, previously I've mentioned the data integrity on the JDE. It's very important for us to focus on that. And also currently we're focusing on the IT security in terms of our systems. That was also part of our audit findings. So basically the focus is to bring a sort of like a program that will focus solely on our IT system so that we make sure that we are well protected. We avoid any vulnerabilities in the future. Okay, we can move to the next slide. Okay, and then on this one, also in terms of our IT audit findings, currently the IT governance is not properly in place. So my main focus as I have joined in, it was to look at the ICT strategy, you know, to see if we are currently aligned with our business initiatives as well as strategic objectives. So basically here is to make sure that we've got the IT strategy that is aligned to our business and also to ensure that the ICT policies are reviewed. This is also important to make sure that we have a well-managed ICT environment. And then the last one, it's actually not the last one. This is one of the most important because here we are focusing on our customers. So it's basically sorting out the regulatory system. So I think if you can look at all of these, the actions completed as well as the action plan, when you look on the regulatory, you can see that we have already started with the work already. There are some forms that we have digitalized, so meaning our customers don't have to fill these manual forms. They can actually go online and then fill in the form, and then we are able to collect data and be able to move forward. The recent online registration that we have completed is it was on the MITS companies, which we had implemented on the 4th of October.
Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think for me, it's just to conclude by assuring the committee that we have put an action plan, a definite action plan, with clear deliverables that we are continuously monitoring. And I think one of our biggest challenges has been implementation. We know our challenges, we know the solution, but when it comes to implementation, that's where we've been lacking. And I've made sure that from the last month, Chair, all the executive and managers that are responsible are reporting to me once bi-weekly on the progress made on the action plan, and they are held accountable where they are failing to implement. Thank you.
DG?
That was a comprehensive report. Just as we indicated in the last meeting, the big issue about the AG's findings. So we've, in addition, we've seconded in the short term a person from our finance department to work with NRCS, but NRCS will, will by January have a permanent person that will be appointed to do the compliance and financial management. As we indicated earlier, we've managed to bring about 10 of our entities to clean audit status. So that was led by our finance department. And it's just a very technical, granular exercise you must do to get a clean audit. So as I said, just to assure the committee, we are putting all the resources and building the local capacity to do that. And then obviously there are existing management in NRCS who, as I said, have been there when we got this qualified audit. So there is also the issue of consequence management, which the management team is putting in place, so that, as I said, where people have not performed and are the reason for us, the necessary steps must follow, but we will be putting in the proper skilled people to do the job.
let me take comments from members, because I think this process which we are engaged in, DJ, also includes the building of the future team in this space. There might be external support, but the reality is that team building has started as we speak. McPherson, Carpet, Buyan.
Thank you very much.
Or Mantasha.
I'm going to direct some comments or questions to the DG and as well as the CEO. DG, first of all, for the nearly 6 years that I've been a member of this committee, we've probably had turnarounds from the NRCS for 4 of those 6 years. And none of them have materialized. They have not materialized to the extent that they would improve electrotechnical turnaround times on LOAs. They have not succeeded in dealing with the audit findings, and they have not succeeded in dealing with the ICT infrastructure. In fact, those dates for the implementation of the ICT infrastructure are now 2 years past when we were told that they would be implemented. So I take the comments by the CEO, who I think is a very nice gentleman, with extreme skepticism about saying we are now going to start delivering, and we have deliverables and we have concrete plans, because none of those plans have concretized to date. So is the only option now not available to the department to put the NRCS into administration, to clear out the decks, so to speak, and to put in a team that can do what needs to be done? Because I say with respect to the CEO that I think that a lot of the problems that he has are inherited to him, but unable because of the structural challenges and the way in which the NRCS is constituted, he is unable to deal with them. And so I think that that is a very serious discussion that we need to start having. Because for the LOAs on electrotechnical to be 3,146 rolled over from the third quarter, that's pretty much the same that we were told the last time that the NRCS was here. And so there's a perpetual rolling over and recycling of LOAs, and they just can never get dealt with because there's no capacity or no ability to do so. And then I want to deal with an issue which I think the NRCS has handled very badly to date, and that is the issue of the part-worn tyres, which this committee felt was of importance. A feasibility study was done by the department, and they recognized all of the very serious issues around safety, around unregulation in the sector, etc., and then produced an astounding report, which, as I believe, was never required input from any stakeholders, from government stakeholders to private entities, which essentially said that, well, you know, it's a problem, but it's not our problem, and that they don't believe that they need to develop a safety standard or a compulsory standard for part-worn tyres, and that, well, they must just be stopped at the border. We're not sure how many are coming in, and if some are, well, then the SAPs need to deal with it. And there just seems to be no forward thinking, and I understand why, because they are so inward thinking.
Can round up.
And I think that, DG, unless the decks are cleared, then we're going to have serious issues and serious gaps in consumer regulation, like this tyre issue, continue to filter in through our societies without dealing with the structural problems that continue to exist.
Thank you, Chairperson. I have two questions. The first question I have is that I see that the turnaround time is 120 days. How does that measure up against international best practice, and what is their turnaround time versus the NRCS's turnaround time? And the second question that I have is, and I'm a new member to the committee, so I'm not too sure how long this present CEO has been in place. However, I heard him mentioning that there would be consequence management for those involved in the audit findings, but surely the leadership team sitting here are partly responsible for that particular set of... surely they are part of that team, and if not, or if so, then you know what consequences are being taken against them. You see, I think the DG is trying to preempt my questions. He's always on the defensive. So I'll forgive him that.
Now, thank you very much, Chair. Let me first welcome the presentation. I'll start in terms of the management of leave, which is online. I think on that one, maybe you have turned around the corner. That's one corner that you are able to turn around. Then my challenge is in terms of the organizational design and the structure that you need to implement. But as we speak now, we're talking of positions that must be filled, critical ones. So my understanding is that you should have started by skilled audit, organizational design, you plan, then you can be able to fill while you have that critical positions that you want to fill. But you must start checking what you have in terms of the capacity. Because really, if you're turning around, you will not maintain all the staff complement that you currently have. So I think that will be able to assist that as well. And also the ICT modernization. It's true that we long been hearing about the ICT, but now I think there are timelines, set clear timelines that this modernization will be implemented. And also in terms of the payroll system, you said you using the SAPS or you have your own payroll system that is able to. Then last, in terms of the 12 key performance indicators, which ones were you able to prioritize for 2018 and 19, and also how successful were you in terms of the achievement. But the turnaround strategy is very clear with key timelines. What I just need to check is in terms of the VC vis-a-vis the tech, the 120 days for us, I think you can as well try and minimize those days in the process, and also the cancellation date of 30 days. If you can just try that side of, because we are in a short of income. You said you have income challenges. There's no way you can make income generation in terms of this one. But if then you are able to turn around the corner of 120 days vis-a-vis the 30 days, I think somehow, in terms of the income generation, we will be able to do it. And lastly, the relationship that I asked earlier on from the SAPS, I'm still posing that question. How is your relationship with the SAPS, FANAC, in terms of the local verification? That's very key, because that one will also turn around the corner in terms of income generation. Thank you very much.
Okay. Mantash.
Thank you, Chair. I'm sorry if I would take the committee backwards because I was not here last week. But some of the questions are also in this presentation, Chair. I so wish that the entity can give us a report on the progress made on the AG's findings for the last financial year, so that we can be able to track your performance towards that direction. Chairperson, I need to be schooled here. They say they will fill critical vacant positions by the 31st of March, but they have not done the job grading. You have not reviewed and benchmarked salary levels. And if you say you have critical positions to fill in, aren't you going to widen the gap of mistrust between you and labor? Because you said it's one of your challenges. So I want to be schooled, as I said. I'm not a specialist. When you do the rest before doing the job grading and you benchmark salaries, but you already have identified critical positions, yet you have not looked into your organizational structure. How do you reconcile all what I've said now, so that you don't get into deeper waters with the labor movement? Because if that side is not addressed, you'll be in problems forever. As a general comment, Chairperson, I think at some point, DG, we need to look at the salaries of our entities and SOEs, of the SOEs and their entities, because when you look at what levels they are far above the PSC salaries, yet they are not productive, they're not assisting government. You know, there's nothing that the government gains from the SOEs in most of them currently, Chair. So why are they paid high salaries and there's no production? They're given huge bonuses for what? Because I believe that you're given a bonus because you have performed. If you have not performed, you have failed over the years, what is the bonus for? I say so, Chair. I was a shop steward in my other life, but reality is that a bonus must be aligned to good performance. There's that thing that's called performance management system. It assists when they are assessed, but their salaries are very high, but they need bailouts every day. So I can't reconcile between the two, Chairperson. I think workers must up their actions so that we can get value for money as government. We can't be doing this forever, Chair. No, we can't. Thank you.
Can I come back to the team? You can start with the DG or end with the DG, sub team.
I can go.
Thank you, members, for the questions. Honorable McPherson, I will only respond on the issue of Part 1 tires. Indeed, we have conducted a feasibility study, and we have discovered that there is no testing capability in the country for tires in the first place. It will be impossible or impractical to develop a VC. Secondly, we have identified that there is no standard for Part 1 tires. SABS will still need to develop the standard. Thirdly, the Part 1 tires, what we have discovered through the feasibility study is that the enforcement will be almost impractical as well, because most of these tires are sold at the street corners. The origin of those tires become a factor. You will not be able to properly enforce such a standard under the current environment. It is also a fragmented in the sense that ITEC is also responsible for control of the Part 1 tires importation. So you need almost an integrated approach between all stakeholders, between the industry, SABS, ITEC, to see how you can properly regulate the Part 1 tires. Honorable Cuthbert, I think the question of 120 days, it is a valid point. And we as the NRC has recognized that we need to continuously improve. Our immediate focus is to ensure that we are able to at least process all the LOAs within 120 days. Then the next step will be to review the 120 days to an acceptable level. Unfortunately, in terms of the structure of the NRCS, there is no comparable institution in the world. You will find that the work that we're doing is seated in different areas. For example, in electrical compliance, we'll be sitting solely in one department, whereas we are just one body dealing with various products. So it is difficult to gauge what are the international comparison without a similar institution like ours. But we do acknowledge that there is a room for improvement in terms of the reducing the timelines to acceptable level. In terms of the consequences management, the issues that arose, most of our audit findings emanated in finance and in HR. So that's where we are implementing consequences management, and they are not part of the delegation here today. Honorable Mbriyani, we note your comment on the leave system. And just on the organizational review, I have referred to you to the organizational redesign that the organization has conducted. We have already concluded 5 steps in the organizational redesign process. Now we are doing what we call microstructure. So I think as an organization, we had to take a decision whether we want to put a moratorium on filling positions awaiting the organizational review whilst we are faced with immediate challenges that need to be addressed, while we are faced with immediate capacity gaps within the organization that need to be addressed. So we have taken that decision, a principal decision, that the organization needs to continue. The organization needs to be able to deliver on its mandate and objectives. And in so doing, we will still need to fill the capacity gaps that have been identified that are critical and necessary to enable the organization to deliver on its mandate. So in terms, it is linked to the question that Honorable Mandash raised. So the job grading process will only be followed after the microstructure has been developed. So in the microstructure, you will have all the positions identified that the organization will need going forward, and a job grading exercise will follow. All the existing employees will fall into a pool, and then there will be a process of skill matching process and placement that will be informed by obviously a migration policy that we still need to develop. So the relationship between SABS and NRCS, we have just concluded an MOU with SABS. The model of the infrastructure entities, including NRCS, SABS, and SANAS, and NEMISA, is such that the four entities' mandate overlaps. And for instance, I rely on SABS to provide testing capacity to enable me to enforce the compulsory specification. Without testing capacity at the SABS, then it will become impractical or almost difficult to enforce some of our compulsory specifications. So we have concluded the MOU with SABS on the issue of certification, also to just reinforce the collaboration, the working relationship between the two entities. We have established the working teams, working committees within the framework of the MOU for the two entities to also interact at operational level and to ensure that they assist each other in the fulfillment of government objectives. I have addressed partly the issue of job creating and filling of critical position that Honorable Mandashi raised, and I note her comment on the salaries of the entities. I think for us, the process of the organizational review will definitely address the issue of salary disparities. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. I think Edward covered most of it. If I could just come to the key issue that raised firstly by Honourable McPherson. I think the key point, and I want to give a positive response to Honourable McPherson, that as you correctly say, the key problem with all these issues is the quality of the management team and not having the right management team in place. So as I said, maybe we will speak plain English and not use things like consequence management, but the point we're reporting on is that disciplinary action is being taken against those managers responsible for the qualified audit. And as indicated, those are the people in finance and the people in HR. And the reason I was so with Honourable Cuthbert, my apologies, the reason I mentioned it is because not this team is responsible, but in the previous meeting, it is that team that was responsible, because we had the CFO of the organization was here in the last briefing, and those are the people that were responsible for the qualified audit. So action is being taken against that team. On the question of administration, Honourable McPherson, as you correctly recall, we did, NRCS is no longer an independent institution, because as you know, they were like SABS before. They had a board. They also had, in terms of the Act of Parliament, they had statutory independence from the department. As you know, because we have found that the board itself was engaged in the corruption and the management, the Act was amended to do away with the board, and they are now technically part of the department. So that's why we can institute the changes as more easily than we could do at SABS. But as I said, the assurance I can give is that the point is that the management will be the new team will be fit for purpose, and as I said, there will be the disciplinary action against the management, which is holding up change and causing problems. The one addition I want to just add on that point is that we've had difficulties in the public service in general, where disciplinary action is delayed, because a lot of it is given to the bargaining chamber, to CCMA, to independent institutions. So because of the problem of the delays that's crept up with regard to disciplinary action being taken, we have now taken the decision as the department to completely insource that function, like we had it before. So we will be conducting now training for our DDGs and our chief directors and our directors
and I think now we will extend it to the entities as well. We're conducting training courses for them starting in December on how to chair disciplinary inquiries, how to bring cases and so on, so that we can move very quickly to immediately with that. Chair, you will recall that all of us who are former trade unionists, and I was also the senior commissioner in the CCMA, if you have the confidence and know how to do it, a disciplinary action inquiry can be completed in the process of 2 weeks. And it doesn't have to be a court case, it has to be just an informal process. You must just hear the other side and you can do it. But obviously it takes 6 months, 12 months, currently the way it's being conducted. So we're going to test the new model where we're going to do the disciplinary inquiries ourselves, and therefore we will hopefully also have faster turnaround times with regards to that. Secondly, on the question of Honourable Cuthbert, I think we will then do that work about the 120 days. We will, as I said, even if there's not best practice, we can definitely look at what are the time taken in other countries, even if it's done by other institutions, and then we'll come back to you on the question of how we can expedite the turnaround times for that. Honourable Boyani, we need some help here because you keep asking about this relationship between the two. So what we're trying to do is they were married before. So we're trying to, and then we divorced them. I think we made a strategic error, but I think we want to cancel that divorce and get them to, if not be one, at least have a very, very codependent relationship. Because as you know, it was just international best practice to separate them because the one was doing compulsory functions and the other one. So we think we must revisit that model, that we actually don't need two institutions, but we can at least let them work together in a federal kind of structure with firewalls between them. And then, Honourable, I think we've done the issue. We can relook at the issue of the tyres then. I'm not too familiar with all the details of that debate, but I know it was raised by Department of Environment as well with us. So I think we can maybe bring it back and look at what we've done around the tyres. And then, Honourable Mantashe, I think you've made the, and thanks to the committee for highlighting the issue of the bonuses, where it's the excessive bonuses. And I think we're stopping it in all of our institutions. But then I wanted to say you could also remember for those of us in DTI, I mean, I've been there 18 years in DTI, 9 years as a DG. I've never, ever received a bonus. So there is it's not across the board. It's the institutions itself that are, I think, abusing their independence to award these kind of bonuses and so on. It's not a right. It's not a right. It should be based on actual performance.
I did see Cuthbert, then McPherson, and then Mantashe. I'll ask just for 2 minutes each, and then Mantashe, and then Mbuyane, in that order. McPherson?
Thank you very much. DG, I want to welcome your comments and views, particularly around the issue of the part-worn tyres, because what we shouldn't be doing is finding excuses why things can't happen. We should be looking at ways in making things to happen, especially when the department itself, at least the NRCS itself, identifies that it is a risk to human safety and that the type of tyres being used is critical to the safety of the vehicle. We can't identify something as being high risk and then saying, well, we can't do anything about it. So I do welcome your commitment to bring that issue back to the committee, and I look forward to that. Thank you.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. If you leave a door open for a politician, he's going to slip his foot in, and that's what the DG's done. Yeah. Regarding disciplinary action, Chairperson, I welcome the reforms and, you know, the actions taken by the department to try and minimise that time. However, I would like an update report on the chief director that now has been suspended for over 800 days and whether or not he's longer in the employ of the department and whether or not this new style of disciplinary process could maybe be enacted for that individual, because I find it ridiculous that somebody is suspended on pay for over 2 years. I think that's a waste of taxpayers' money, and I don't think that it serves the public good. So particularly in that case and others where they've been suspended for longer than a year, I hope that that measurement or that application is taking place.
No, Chair, thank you very much. I think one is just a comment on the issue of ICT. Really, if we can at least try to catalyze the process of the ICT, because the ICT, as we speak now, it holds all the departments into ransom before, because you cannot perform without this ICT kind of arrangement. And also, Chair, maybe if you check the question of critical position vis-a-vis organizational structure and design, I think somehow it needs a synergy, because identifying a critical position, yes, is proper, but in terms of the design, what design do you want in the organization vis-a-vis the structure that you want to do? So it will be proper for you at least to check whether you can have the possibility of getting someone that you will need in the critical position within the structure itself before you can bloat the structure. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I hear what the entity is saying, but I just want to check, because you are a scarce skill what essential entity in your current human resource package, have you made any human resource development so that when you do the new organogram, you not tapping into retrenchment where possible? And as a comment, Chairperson, I wouldn't agree with putting this entity under administration. I wouldn't. Because, Chairperson, we have just put on Mr. Mamodise as an acting CEO. And he has now today presented a plan. Why don't we give him a space to implement that plan, and we monitor his performance on that plan? Because we can't chop and change if you are a serious department. That was my input, Chair. Thank you.
Chair, thank you. And I'll be short. I just want to say, in the previous presentation, I mentioned the possible restructure of the SABS, meaning to comply with the current market situation and the situation that it is in, and what the DG just said actually is what I meant by combining the two institutions, if possible. I don't think Mr. Strachan understood what I was trying to say, but I'm glad that the DG mentioned it. So we need extraordinary circumstances, ask for extraordinary measures. Thank you, thank you, Jim.
Okay. Can we have the final comments from the team?
Yes, very briefly, Honourable Mantashe, I think you're absolutely right. We share the sentiment. If you do put the management team in place, we must stand by the team. And that is why, as I said, we've seconded both Garth and Edward. He used to be in our legal department, and he was seconded there. And as you know, he is making very good progress, and we're fully behind Edward. And there's no change, that's why I support that. And then, Honourable Cuthbert, yes, on that issue, and that's why we need all the support, because that case that you're talking about is currently before the Public Service Arbitration Panel. So it's, but what happened there is, in that particular case, and as you know, because the DTI, the way we've maintained our clean audit, we have what we've called a zero tolerance for fraud and corruption. So as soon as we get an allegation against somebody, we suspend the person immediately. In this particular case, it was a case of, as you know, because we manage our contracts very well, we had a contract from EOH. EOH gave us a bill for lots of money. We refused to pay, and this person as the IT manager tried to get the department to pay the bill for EOH. So we took action against him. Unfortunately, as I said, the matter was taking very long. We wrote on a number of occasions. I wrote to the General Secretary of the Bargaining Council to tell him it is unacceptable, these delays. We've now gotten an undertaking that they will complete the process by the end of January next year. To tell the committee what we have done, I actually did, because of the long delays, I did then take disciplinary action myself against him, and we prepared a disciplinary inquiry. Unfortunately, the court interdicted us from proceeding, and that's why I'm saying we are the ones who are trying to fight corruption, but all the time we are the ones who get into trouble for these things, but we are taking every action to do it. So I wanted to immediately then have an internal inquiry, but the court stopped us and said we, because the matter is before the bargaining chamber arbitration, the DTI can't intervene. We must wait for that process to be continued. So we're hoping that, as I said, we got the undertaking now that will be the end, because we've written again to the chair to say we must complete this process. But I will then, we will get proper legal advice and then by taking the necessary steps. But we are on top of it. And as I said, from our side, we are really trying to take action on corruption.
So obviously, DG, when we speak to these issues, it will be a point that we are confirming that we do have capacity of the teams in terms of the intervention we're talking about, and further, there is level of competence for the job which we actually have, and we do actually have an idea of time frames around that. On the other side as well, that there will be support we bring, where we actually will be having external support that we actually bring to the department or entity. But on the other side, there may be actually internal capacity that we're relying on. There should be a balance between the two, obviously. So I'm not sure if ever there's any further comments on the side of the team, if ever then any CEO, and then we can actually then conclude.
I think just on the question that Honorable Mandashi raised about retrenchments, as part of the organizational redesign, there is a program where we will upskill people who do not meet the criteria for the new organizational structure. So our idea is not to retrench people, but to make the organization more efficient and productive. Thank you.
I'm sure we would actually conclude then, DG. Thank you very much. And I think we would actually then conclude the presentation. Hopefully, we're hoping that in the coming year, we are engaging on the program for the committee. And I think in the earlier discussion, we did actually have from the acting CEO saying that 21st January, we are actually looking at that program, because going out and actually having that kind of visit adds a lot of value. You represent the rest of the teams which we don't have here today. Interacting with the teams, you know, at the broader scale does add a lot of value as well, to know where the situation is and how bad it is and what is it that we may need to do to take the process forward. So can we then thank you for participating in this program. And thanks very much, Edward. I can see that. I was actually saying EE, the same was Edward and Edward. No, that. Thank you very much, CIO. And then the DG, who would actually conclude here, and hoping that we can be able to follow through and get good sense of the progress we are making in terms of what you just informed us. Thank you very much. Okay. Yeah.
Okay. So we will allow you to leave, and then we'll just have a few minutes with the committee. Thank you very much. Thanks, DJ. You should have on your possession the draft program for oversight visit, and we do actually have the program for the first quarter in terms of the calendar year next year, because it's a point where we're actually circulating this draft so that we can actually just clarify. Can you take it?
Chair, with regard to the draft programs, I just want to state up front that the dates that we are proposing has not yet been finalized by the Joint Programming Committee. The Joint Programming Committee is only meeting on Thursday to finalize the framework for 2020. But in the interim, we had discussions with staff who supports the Joint Programming Committee, and these were the dates that they said they will be proposed for adoption. So only after that particular meeting we can definitively say that these will be the dates. So these are the draft program for, with respect to the oversight program, we've scheduled or proposing a two-week oversight program meeting all the entities. And it will include a Saturday. Members, I just want to bring this attention, so members will not leave the oversight if it's approved by the House Chairperson. So it's in Gauteng. So members must just take note of that. That is, and the program will end on the 6th of February, on Thursday, the 6th of February. So members will either return on the 6th or the Friday morning, the 7th, depending on when we finish. But this is just a draft for discussion and input of members in that regard. That's the oversight program. Chair, let's do it.
Okay. Comments, McPherson?
Thank you. I want to say that it would be a first, for as long as I've been a member of this committee, for something like that to take place on a Saturday. So I do have a problem with that, because weekends are our constituency, are for our constituents, and so on the Saturday I will be in my constituency. I'm just trying to see if there's anything here with the National Lotteries Commission. Is there? Okay, great. So just my only issue would be about the Saturday.
Chair, I will ask the content advisor to explain the rationale for why we have tried to schedule a Saturday morning and afternoon matter.
Good afternoon, members. I think that the main focus was because the committee is expecting a holistic gambling bill to come to the committee, and in Gauteng you've got all the modes of gambling present. So it would be easier to... So the thinking was to schedule a day where you would have racing, etc. where you could actually see the different types of gambling modes in operation, especially bingo, which is not available in the Western Cape. Some of the other modes, I suppose we could make a plan elsewhere, but there's certain types which are only in certain provinces.
I think the motivation is that is to maximize, that you actually get exposed on the real situation.
Mm-hmm.
So I think that's the point. It's proposed, it's before you, as we did say that we take a principal stance. I was actually hoping that we can then have our committee next Tuesday just to finalize the program before us, maybe actually just a short meeting. So that's Muyan, you wanted to raise a point, and then McPherson.
Chairperson, thank you very much. Looking at the program, I wanted to make a principle, a proposal to say, as a committee, we can tentatively approve while we're still waiting for the committee in terms of the program and the dates, exactly the confirmation. But currently now, I propose that we tentatively approve the dates that have been subjected or proposed here. Then, given the fact that we're still waiting for a confirmed date by Parliament. Thank you.
Thanks. I'll just reiterate that I won't be available for the Saturday because it's a constituency day. The other issue is, Mr. Hermans will remember the, and I hope this doesn't come across pretentious, but it was a very problematic place that we were put in Pretoria the last time, where we had extra visitors who were offering services which weren't required. Please, can we not be put in that situation again? The Honourable Fabs will remember that quite well.
Can you just say, the Honourable Member is saying Saturday is constituency day, but we are permitted as a committee to meet on Saturday. So I'm just saying then it will be relative in that sense. Just to say it's actually quite important we note, we proceed. Mantasha, you want to say something on that before I pick up the next one? If you do we have a second of on the... McPherson, you are seconding Mbuyane?
No.
You are not seconding Mbuyane. Okay, Mantashe?
I'm seconding Mbuyane that we must adopt this tentatively until the correct and final decision is taken. But we cannot be held by one person and not do our work, Chair, because it is not all of us who have constituency days on Saturdays. So I think we should continue with the days that have been tentatively set for the visits. Thank you, Chair.
Can we then pick up on the next one?
So you'll just note my objection then?
Well, it will be noted. It will be noted, yes. Because it's same for any other day. We do actually get apologies from members. We would actually note it in that way. Andre?
Chair, the third quarter program, depending on the date, will start on the, if I may check, on the 11th of February. And we have scheduled many of the items that has been identified by the committee, also items that follow the program as a result of changes to the program. The content advisor is preparing a rationale for all these scheduling of these items, so members will be able to see exactly why and we are doing what we intend doing here. Because of the change, there's some issues that followed the program. It was the training and a workshop that was originally scheduled because we thought we will start a week earlier, but because we're proposing a week later, some two items fall off the program. But it is in relation to what we are required to do in terms of third quarter programs and things that fall off and things that emanated from the discussion since the sixth parliament that are captured in the program.
Unless there are any comments, the proposal is before you. Any comments? If none, McPherson?
Just on the issue of here, I think that, you know, the NLC continues to be a huge issue. And I think it would be important, critically important, that we re-engage with them again in the first quarter. So I would like us to schedule that interaction.
Okay, noted. If ever there are any further comments. We will then actually confirm next Tuesday as our next meeting. Please, as we earlier agreed that in principle, we actually have this before you. Please actually consult, engage, and let's actually confirm next Tuesday. We will have a session to make sure that we have our program. There might be changes of dates as well. We're not too sure. We'll have to check on that. Andre?
Chair, there's also another item on the agenda for next Thursday. We are required in terms of Parliament's strategic plan to adopt the second quarter reports of EDD and DTI. So we will also look at that particular report. We have engagement about 2 weeks ago on that matter. We hopefully will distribute a draft report to members so on that. But we are required to submit a report to the House on second quarter reports of DTI and EDD. So we will also consider that report on Tuesday. But by Friday, I will speak to Ms. Sheldon and Mr. Madima, who is drafting that report, to ensure that members have it by Friday, if not by Monday morning.
Bojana?
Chair, thank you very much. I'm not so sure because we are told we'll be engaging on Tuesday. That means the committee are not meeting from today or maybe tomorrow. So. Because tomorrow we're having a session and the chair is referring us on next Tuesday. Thank you.
Well, this is in terms of the agenda before
you. Okay. Chair, we are meeting tomorrow at E249 at 9 o'clock.
Well, that's always the last thing we say, isn't it, Mbuyan? But for now, for the program, we will schedule for next Tuesday for us just to finalize that, because there are issue of dates we need to be sure, correct. Okay. Okay, so Andre has confirmed the meeting tomorrow, E249 at 9, tomorrow morning. Thank you very much.
Yeah. Yeah. Yeah.